So what do you do when God doesn't seem fair? What do you do when you find yourself experiencing a crisis of belief? What do you do when what you want to believe, that God is good, but when everything you see in life, it is not? These are the questions that I want to try to answer for us as we study the book of Habakkuk together. And if you were with us last week, then you will remember that Habakkuk is one of the most honest, raw, and transparent books in the Bible. Habakkuk was a prophet of God, but not in the way that you and I might think of. Most prophets spoke to people on behalf of God. This is what God has told me to tell you people, but Habakkuk was different. Habakkuk spoke to God on behalf of the people. He saw his nation, the people of Judah, suffering tremendously from violence, injustice, lawlessness, and so Habakkuk prayed to God to do something about this, and this book is a recording of the conversation that took place. Last week, as we studied chapter 1, we saw Habakkuk wonder. We saw Habakkuk wonder. Through his prayer, we saw Habakkuk ask the question, God, I know you could do something about this, and I'm wondering why you're not. He wondered why God wouldn't answer any of his prayers and requests. And then when God finally did, he told Habakkuk that he was going to send the Babylonians, the enemy of God, to come and sweep across their land as a way of casting judgment on them. And Habakkuk wondered why God would do such a thing. But what I love about Habakkuk is that while most people would have walked away from their faith in God in that moment, Habakkuk chooses to wrestle and embrace. In fact, that's what the word Habakkuk means. The word Habakkuk means to wrestle and embrace. And we see him do this all throughout this book. Habakkuk wrestles with God in that he doesn't understand why God would allow these things to happen, yet at the same time, he embraces God and reminds himself of who he knows God to be. This is what we see Habakkuk do in chapter 1, and it is where many of us find ourselves in as well. Like Habakkuk, we're wondering why God would allow so much suffering in our world right now. Like Habakkuk, we're wondering why God would let us maybe lose our job, struggle to make ends meet, live in isolation and fear and worry about what the future might hold. But like Habakkuk, when we find ourselves in a crisis of belief, we must know that while it is okay to wrestle with God and that we can ask Him difficult questions, we must also at the same time choose to embrace who we know God to be. But as we approach chapter 2 this morning, we're going to see a transition occur in this book. In chapter 1, Habakkuk is wondering. So he prays to God two separate times in chapter 1. But in chapter 2, Habakkuk is waiting. He's waiting to see what God is going to say. He's waiting to see what God is going to do. Listen, wondering is difficult. Wondering is difficult. Waiting is even more difficult. Waiting is even more difficult yet. Yet what I believe that this chapter will show us this morning is that waiting on God is an important step in our journey of faith. So would you pray with me this morning as we look at God's Word? Father, I thank you so much for this chance to gather together with believers in this room, with believers on Facebook or YouTube or wherever the person is watching. God, I thank you for the unity that we have in that. And Father, I pray that as we look at this book, your word, God, that we would be reminded that you are still with us. God, that you have not left us, you've not forsaken us. And God, remind us of those truths today. Remind us of those things as we try to navigate this very difficult life right now that we are faced with as a nation and world. And God, I pray that you would speak to me today, God, that you would allow me to say what you want me to say. And Father, I pray that those listening, God, that it would penetrate into their lives and hearts. And God, that we would all, as a result, be drawn closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Look with me there. The word of the Lord says this, "I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. The Lord answered me, 'Write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity, but the righteous one will live by his faith.'" Now, there are three things that we see Habakkuk do in this text that I've just read for you today. And I want to spend our time this morning unpacking those with you, because what I think we'll find is that when we apply these things that we see Habakkuk do in this text, our faith will be strengthened and renewed, just as we will see with Habakkuk. So if you're taking notes this morning, I would encourage you to write these down, because the first thing that we see Habakkuk do in the text that we just read is listen to God. The first thing that we see Habakkuk do is listen to God. Look again at verse 1. It says, "I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint." Now, notice that right after Habakkuk finishes prayer to God at the end of chapter 1, he chooses to position himself in the most strategic place he can think of. Verse 1 tells us that Habakkuk stations himself on the lookout tower. And he does this so that he can have the best possible view to see how God will move and respond to his prayers. In other words, what Habakkuk is doing here is Habakkuk is positioning himself on the watchtower so that he can listen to God speak. So that he can listen to God speak. And let's just be honest for a moment. Let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. This is not an easy thing for you and I to do. When we're hurting, when we're struggling with our faith, wondering why bad things are happening, our tendency is to tell God what to do. We may say things like, "God, I'm not able to work right now, so I'm going to need you to fix that, so that I can continue to provide for my family. God, someone I love right now is really sick, and I need you to heal them so that they can enjoy their lives and I can be with them. God, I'm in a really dark place right now, so I'm going to need you to show up in my life right now so that I can have my faith strengthened and renewed." Whatever it is, when we find ourselves in a crisis of belief, our tendency is to try to negotiate with God. And what we end up doing is we actually end up giving God an ultimatum. "God, if you answer these prayers, then I will give you all of the praise. God, if you answer these prayers, I'll give you all the glory. I'll give you a pat on the back. I'll brag on you to my family and friends. But God, if you don't, God, if you don't, then I don't know if I can keep defending you. God, if you don't answer these prayers the way that I want you to, I don't know if I can keep worshiping you and serving you. God, I may just have to walk away from you altogether." When we experience difficult times, when we experience a crisis of belief, our natural tendency is going to be to negotiate with God. But what Habakkuk shows us in this text is that we actually need to position ourselves in a place where we can hear God speak. You see, you and I, we serve a God who wants to communicate with us. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants to speak to us. And I believe that he can do that in a variety of different ways. He can do that through prayer. He can do that through reading and meditating on his word. He can do that through a sermon, through a worship song. He can do that by you just going outside in his creation. He can impress something on your heart. He can even speak to you through another person. But listen closely here. Listen closely. If you are the one doing all of the talking and you've already made up your mind on how God should answer your prayer, then you won't be able to clearly listen to God when He speaks back to you. like Habakkuk, at some point, no matter how difficult it may be, we must stop being the ones who are doing all of the talking and position ourselves so that we can be in a place where we can best hear how God will answer our requests. Like Habakkuk, we must listen. We must listen. And again, you can do that through prayer, through reading and meditating on His Word, through being outside in His creation. There are endless ways that God speaks to us. But the important thing is that like Habakkuk, we find a place where there are no other distractions so that we can focus our attention on Him. And when we do that, I believe God will speak to us. I believe God will communicate to us, because this is exactly what we see God do with Habakkuk in this text. Look now at verse 2. The Lord answered me. See, he's waiting on God to answer, and God does. He says, the Lord answered me. And he says, write down this vision, clearly inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. So Habakkuk positions himself to hear how God will answer his prayers and concerns. And then God says, write down what I'm about to say to you. Write it down. Document it. Record it. Write it down. This is the second thing that we see Habakkuk do in this text. Now, why would God tell Habakkuk to do this? Why would God tell Habakkuk to do this? I mean, what was God trying to accomplish through this instruction? Well, when you write something down, it's preserved. There's no changing it. What is written is what is written. So though your life may change, even though your circumstances may change, something that is written and is preserved, it never changes. Never changes. And this is important for Habakkuk and the people of Judah. Because even though they know that they are going to be facing an extremely difficult time when the Babylonians come and pass judgment on them, they can look at this writing and remind themselves that even though they may feel like God has abandoned them, He has not. When times get tough and they find themselves in a crisis of belief, they can go back and read this writing and remind themselves that God has a plan and that He will work all things for His good in the end. And don't miss this, because I believe that's what many of us need to do today. That is what many of us need to do today. You see, we have a spiritual enemy whose sole mission is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But don't let the enemy take from you that which God has already given to you. Did you catch that? Don't let the enemy take from you that which God has already given to you. God will give you a word. God will give you faith. God will give you a peace and a hope. But our enemy, he wants to take that away from us. He wants us to forget about all of those things that God has given us. And instead, he wants to convince us that God has abandoned us, that God has stopped loving us. But that is just not true. That's why we need to be like Habakkuk here and write down the moments when God has spoken to us so that we can be reminded of those things when the enemy comes knocking on our door. Listen. If you find yourself this morning struggling with doubt and unbelief, you're wrestling with God, whatever the case may be, then I would encourage you to do this. Write down the times when God has spoken to you. Write down the times when God has spoken to you. Write down the times when God has impressed something on your heart. You knew it was from Him. Write down the moments when you felt like the presence of God was in your life and you could just see that. Write down how many times God has answered your prayers over the years. Write it down, document it, put it on paper, and then when you find yourself struggling with God, go back to it. Hang on to it. Believe it. Claim it. Embrace it in your life. Don't let the enemy take from you that which God has already given to you. God has given you His Word. God has given you His Son, Jesus. God has given you His power through the Holy Spirit. And no matter how difficult your life may be right now, no matter how hard it may seem to keep your faith and trust in Him, remind yourself of these things. Write them down and know that God is still good even when life is not. Remind yourself that God has not left you. God has not forsaken you. He was with you then and He is with you now. So even though you may find yourself full of doubt and unbelief this morning, remind yourself that God is still good and He has not left your side. He has a plan for your life. Habakkuk positions himself to be able to listen to God. Then God tells him, write down what I'm about to give you, the word I'm about to give you. I'm about to speak to you. Write that down. And then God tells Habakkuk to do a very difficult thing. He tells Habakkuk to wait. God tells Habakkuk to wait. Look with me at verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. So though God has already told Habakkuk in chapter 1 that He plans to use the Babylonians to come and cast judgment upon the sins of Judah, in chapter 2 God gives Habakkuk a vision to write down that speaks of the future judgment of the Babylonians. You see, Habakkuk is confused why God would allow a pagan nation to triumph over His people. That's why he's wondering in chapter 1. He's saying, God, that doesn't make sense. God, that does not seem fair. Ultimately, Habakkuk is just confused because he knows that God is a just God, but he doesn't see any evidence of that here. But in chapter 2, God answers Habakkuk's prayer by showing that He is just that. In chapter 2, God is proving that He is a just God. And in verses 6 through 20 of chapter 2, God gives what the Bible calls the five woe oracles. The five woe oracles, and I don't have time to read those to you and study those with you today, but basically what God is saying in them is that He will bring judgment on the Babylonians. He's telling Habakkuk that even though I'm going to use the Babylonians to cast judgment on you and the people of Judah, ultimately I'm going to cast judgment on them as well because I am a just God, and blatant sin and rebellion against me will not go unpunished. The Babylonians will get what's coming to them. Now, this would have been great news to Habakkuk. But what I want you to notice here is that while God promised Habakkuk that He would bring justice and judgment on the Babylonians, He told him that he would have to be patient and wait for it. Look at the text with me again in verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. In other words, what God is saying here is that He is a just God. He does not lie. He's saying, I will bring judgment on the Babylonians. Look at the last part of verse 3. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Did you catch that? Though it delays, wait for it. You have another translation, your Bible might say, though it lingers, wait for it. Or though it tarries, wait for it. Though it seems like it will never come, wait for it, because God has not forgotten about you. He has a plan for your life and He will see it through at His appointed time. In other words, just as we sung the song Waymaker a few minutes ago, you and I today, we need to be reminded that even though we may not be able to see God working in our life right now, He is. Even though we may not feel like God is moving in our life right now, He is. Though it delays, wait for it. Wait for it. God has a plan for you at His appointed time. Now, you might say this morning, Jeremy, you don't get it. I have. I've been waiting. I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it come to pass. If that is you this morning, then remember this truth. God's delays are not God's denials. God's delays are not God's denials. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't mean God is not going to do it. He is with you. He is working. And even though He may operate on a timetable that's not your own, don't lose patience and give up on Him, because He certainly hasn't given up on you. In fact, the Bible tells us that God is for us and not against us. So when we find ourselves in the waiting, we should rest in that truth. Though it delays, wait for it. Wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. Be willing to wait on God's perfect timing and not your own. It will come at His appointed time. Listening to God, writing down what He speaks, and waiting for God's plan. These are the three things that we see Habakkuk do in this text. And if you find yourself this morning wrestling with God, full of doubt and unbelief, then I would encourage you to practice these things in your own life as well. But as we close this morning, I want us to look at one last verse. I want to look at one last verse with you this morning, because scholars say that this is the most important verse in the entire book of Habakkuk, and it's quite possibly the most important verse in the entire Bible. Look at the first part of verse 4 in Habakkuk 2. It says this. It says, look, his ego is inflated. He is without integrity. In other words, what God is saying here is that He sees how prideful the Babylonians are. He understands that. He sees that. He sees that their egos are inflated. He sees that they're without integrity. He sees that they have no desire to worship Him. Their judgment is coming. God makes that clear in this chapter, but God's not talking to the Babylonians here. He's talking to Habakkuk. And He tells Habakkuk at the end of verse 4 that the righteous one will live by faith. That the righteous one will live by faith. And what God is trying to teach Habakkuk and you and me today is that we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And our faith is not based on what we see, on what we want, or getting our desired outcome. It's not based on our works. It's not based on our feelings. It's not based on our emotions. Instead, our faith is based on the never-changing character of God. It's based on the goodness of God. Our faith is based on trusting that God is with us and that He will provide for us even when it's hard to see any evidence of that in our lives. The righteous one will live by faith. The righteous one will live by faith. So even though you may not see it with your eyes this morning, start walking by faith and trust that God is fighting for you. Even though He doesn't seem to be answering any of your prayers right now, walk by faith and know that He is listening and cares for you. Even though you may not understand why God is allowing all these things to happen in your life right now, walk by faith and continue to trust that He has a plan for your life. Though it delays, wait for it. Trust that God has a plan for you. Walk by faith, believing that God will see you through the storm. So, Father, I pray for those who are waiting this morning. Father, I pray for those who find themselves waiting. God, they don't understand, but they're still wanting to trust who You are. They're resting, yet they're embracing who they know You to be. And, Father, I pray that for those who are waiting this morning, that they would continue to put their trust in You. That they would continue to realize that You are for them, that You're not against them, that You have a plan. Father, I pray that they would walk not by sight, not by what they see right now in the world, but they would walk by faith. That they would walk by what you have revealed to them through their own lives, through Your word. That they would walk by faith, trusting that You are with them, trusting that you have a plan for them. And God, I pray that You would help them in this waiting period. Though it lingers, though it delays, God, help them to wait and see how You are going to provide for them and get them through this difficult time. Father, I pray for all of us today. Father, I pray that if someone is far from you today, if they're wondering, if they're waiting, God, I pray that you would draw them to you. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them. Father, I pray that they would place their hope and trust and faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to thank you again for joining us today. And remember, just to make a point to do this, make sure to share this service on Facebook. That just helps us get the word out. That helps us be able to reach as many people as we can during this difficult time. And so it's just one click away from you. And I would encourage you to do that each and every Sunday when we are doing these online services. Also, I would encourage you that if you know of someone who maybe doesn't have internet access to be able to watch these services online, let me or one of the deacons know. We actually record these services and we put them on a DVD and we try to deliver all of those to those who might want to watch them and not be able to on a Sunday morning. So if you know of someone, please let me or the deacons know. I want to encourage you to continue to give your tithes and offerings. I'm thankful that you've been doing that, and I've been blown away by your generosity. I want you to know that we are very, very close to paying off our children's building, and so continue to give towards that. Lastly, I want you to know that I am meeting with the deacons. We had a long discussion a few days ago, and I want you to know that we are trying to navigate all of this and figure out how we're going to open the church back up and what that may look like. And I just want to let you know in that we don't have any answers right now, but I want you to continue to pray for us as we decide those things as to how we can do that in the coming weeks and months. And I just pray that you would pray for us as we make those decisions. Well, again, I just thank you for tuning in and joining us. I want to just let you know that I'm continuing to thinking about you and praying for you, and I cannot wait to be back with you in this building, hopefully soon, and be able to worship the Lord. But I hope that you have a blessed week. I hope that God touches you in a mighty way, and I look forward to seeing you next time.